We're continuing this morning with Blessed Are the Meek.
Hello. How are we? Good. I'm glad you're great. Well, good morning. Are people still getting their coffees? Come on. Okay. So we're starting more on time now. I've been saying that, Gary, we're starting a little bit late. So today we start a little bit more on time. Where's Jonathan? Jonathan, that was absolutely a beautiful, beautiful worship time. In fact, I don't know about you, but I sense the Holy Spirit, His gentleness this morning, prompting us this morning to respond to Him. There was such presence of God here. So let us not lose that. Let us not lose that. We carry the presence of God with us because Jesus lives inside of us. So let us not lose that. Amen. So this morning, yes, we are on the third beatitude this week. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, in Matthew 5:5. So, a few questions, the tip of your head. What comes to mind when you think of the word meek? Mouse? You're very brave, Annabelle. Mouse? Anyone else? Timid? Yep. A bit weak? A bit weak. It's not a very popular word. I asked my daughter last night, sweetie, what does meek mean? What if I said to you that you were meek, what do you know what that means? She goes, what? What word? I said, meek, M-E-E-K. She goes, oh. She was in the kitchen cooking at that time, and she turned away and went to the sink and said, she came back and goes, humble? Is that okay? Yeah? Yes? Not bad. It's not a popular word, is it? I mean, we use it in church circles. We use it as Christians every now and again. It will come up when someone is preparing a sermon to speak, or, you know, we might talk about it in a Bible study, but we don't talk about the word meek because the word meek is very misunderstood. It is unappreciated. And this is what some people think the word meek is: weak, vulnerable, small, insignificant, fragile, maybe even gullible, maybe a weak link, weak-willed, a pushover, a walkover, a doormat. Many years ago, Charles Wesley wrote an old hymn, many years ago, a couple of centuries ago, 1700s. And he wrote the words, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." Now, this song was actually written for children, not necessarily for adults. But I believe we've had the wrong interpretation over the centuries about the power of meekness. So many people think Jesus is weak, and that Christianity is for the weak people who can't cope with life. We had that. We gave our lives to Christ. I was 18, Gary was nearly 20. And our circle of friends said, "What do you need that for? Are you crippled or something? Are you broken? You need a crutch. What do you need a crutch to lean on for?" They were the comments that came back in our circle of friends, and that's going back 35 years ago. How old am I? Don't add that up. I think I've just become younger. Those numbers. So let's talk about what it means in certain ways. So the dictionary meaning for the word meek is mild, humble, moderate, submissive, quiet, tender, soft. But is that, that's part of it, but is that what meek means in the Bible? We're going to have a look at this, and then we're going to unpack this beatitude together today. It's part of the answer. It's not the whole answer here. So meek, like I said before, is a very misunderstood word and a very misinterpreted word. term. Meekness is often called the unappreciated virtue. The Hebrew word for meek is called anna, A-N-A-H, meaning to endure with submission what might be evaded or avoided. Interesting, isn't it? That's the Hebrew word and understanding, as you see it on the screen, and what it means. To endure with submission what might be evaded or avoided. Let's think for a minute. You could avoid it, you could evade it, and you could dismiss it. You could disobey it, but instead you choose to submit to it. That's what to endure with submission is about. So you can avoid it, you can evade it, you can disobey it, but we choose to submit to it. Stay with me. This is going somewhere. Hello. There are many things in life we cannot avoid, right? We simply have to face the facts, right? But there are some things we can choose to avoid. Things like an apology or a reconciliation or maybe being generous or showing compassion when we should. Or maybe obeying God's word or the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can avoid, we can choose to avoid those things. We're going to go to the Greek word now. It's called praus, P-A-U-S or pros or pous, depending on your interpretation, which is translated as strength under control. And William Barclay said praus cannot be translated into one single English word. He says meekness is the proper balance between anger and indifference. Meekness is when a powerful personality is properly under control. Meekness is humility and submission. So what was Jesus asking us to become when he said, "Blessed are the meek"? He wasn't asking us to be weak, impotent, or subject to the world around us. He was asking us to take all that we are and all that we have and submit it to his lordship as we just sang, "I surrender all." Perfect for today. I surrender all. Perfect for tomorrow. Perfect for the next day. Surrendering is a daily thing. Coming to God before we start the day or at the end of the day and saying, "Lord, have me. Take me, God. Have everything about me. Take my will, take my possessions, take my titles, take my position. God, take my striving." And I had a word for someone here this morning, that for someone here this morning, you are feeling very frustrated because you're striving. You're striving in your walk with God. You're striving maybe in your workplace. There's a distinct word for someone here this morning. And what God wants you to do is just surrender the striving today. Just surrender. Give it over to God. Ask yourself the question, why am I striving? What is it that's causing me to strive today? Hand it over. You don't need to carry that. We don't need to strive. If he's in control, then God helps us walk out the steps for our life. Amen? So meek describes someone who shows patient restraint. Oh, I asked a couple of people last week, what do you think about meek? They go, "Ooh, don't call me meek." Okay? Patient restraint. So if I said to you now, you have got patient restraint. Oh, yeah. See the strength in that? Hear the power in that? Patient restraint, strength under control, to endure with submission. Incredible, incredible meaning of the word meek and meekness. I think the world has given us the wrong information. We were watching a show the other night, a couple of nights ago, and it was perfect timing because there was a strap line that one of the characters spoke and they said, "I'm not meek, I'm not gentle, I'm not a walkover." See, the connotations of the word meek is that it is nothing we should be aspiring to be, when in actual fact it's everything in us that we should be wanting to be more and more like Jesus. Another commentator said this: true meekness means freedom from hatred and vengeance. And someone who suffers wrong without experiencing bitterness or wanting revenge. Wow, that's a meek person. not taking matters into their own hand. Now, I want to say this right from the get-go, that meekness isn't turning away from injustices of the world, okay? It's not when you see an injustice happening, you see something happening to someone else that you know is not right, it doesn't mean you walk away and let it keep happening. I'm sorry. The Bible tells me to speak up and to stand up for those who cannot speak. So we must remember that we are to speak in times where someone's been hurt, we need to step in. I was at the grocery store, as I do. Although Gary loves grocery shopping, he does it more than me. It's like he goes into a, I know, clapping, only one clap got, by the way, and it was from Peter. We know who does the grocery shopping in your house. He does, see? Peter Constantine, well done. Okay. What do you do? Buy lollies? That is, oh, man. Lollies and chips. Yeah, right. That's exactly what Gary does. I was at the grocery store and I was standing, I had my groceries to go through. It's in perfect timing. God's timing is just so perfect when I research and put a message together. And the checkout guy, who was about 19, 20, was trying to handle a very grumpy guy. Now, I'm standing there. He was already there. The grumpy guy was already there at the checkout and I had all my groceries to go through yet because I didn't want to go through self-serve, right? I just didn't feel like it that day. And anyway, so I'm watching this conversation between the checkout guy and this grumpy guy. Now, I'm standing back and I'm just standing waiting and I'm noticing the demeanour of the checkout guy because of how the grumpy guy was giving him, I'm telling you, full-on, like, abuse. And the checkout guy was answering every question with poise and with such restraint. He was incredible. And this grumpy guy, I'm thinking there's so much more going on with this guy. He is having a really bad day or his life is just not going well, right? He was not in a good place. And I was actually going to get to the point where I was going to go and get someone to come and help. Now, I went at the time of day where there was not a lot of people grocery shopping, so the checkouts were really quiet, and I actually got this young man who was the only one on at the time. And I noticed how he was just coming back, yes, sir, it's okay, sir, I'll deal with that, sir, not a problem, sir. And the guy left, and he just kept going as he walked out of the supermarket because everyone could hear him. And I came, and it was my turn, and I said to the young guy, I said, well done. And he said to me, what do you mean? I said, you handled him exceptionally well. I said, anyone else would have probably walked away, or they would have given him a big fight. And he goes, I know, well, I was taught as a young boy that to refrain from being angry with an angry person, because a soft word turns away anger, turns away wrath. And I said, well done. And I'm going, okay, Lord, this is a good illustration if I ever heard one. And he goes, I just stood my ground. I said, you did, but you did it so gently and you did it, you restrained yourself. And he goes, I had to. I know it's part of your job to do that. He goes, you know what, it's not. I don't have to tolerate abuse, he said. I said, well done. He goes, but right there and then, I felt I just needed to prove to the guy that we can handle this. We're fine, and I'm fine. I said, how do you feel? He goes, I'm fine now. I'm good. I said, good. Well, you're going to have a good day. And I said, you're going to even have a better day later. So true meekness means freedom from hatred and from vengeance. Matthew Henry said, the meek would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one. And we're not talking about being punched up and all this type of thing. We're talking about how we handle situations. How are we to handle situations and circumstances that come our way personally? Amen. Matthew 11:28-30 in the New Living Translation says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. The King James Version says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. He is gentle and humble. And it's a characteristic we all need to carry in our life and walk that out in our life. Because without meekness, we experience an inner turmoil and restlessness which manifests itself through anger, frustration, bitterness, and resentment. We are not at peace with God, and therefore we are not at peace with ourselves, and therefore we are not at peace with others. And meekness makes us ready for communion and fellowship with God, but it also makes us ready for connection and communion with others, which is incredibly important, to carry meekness. Meekness is more than being self-controlled. It is handing over control to the Lordship of Jesus. It is coming under His authority. Like we sang again, "I surrender all." It's coming under God's Lordship. It is saying, "Lord, my life belongs to You. My life, my whole life, not parts of it, but every part of my life and my being, everything I own, everything I possess, everything I am belongs to You." When we are meek, we lay our lives down for His kingdom, knowing that He will give us as an abundant life both now and in eternity. And it is a willingness to disregard our rights and privileges. It is, again, denying self. It is denying self. It is denying the selfishness and the selfish ways, the ways we want to react and respond to people, circumstances, and situations. Incredible how in the original Latin, meekness means used to the hand. Used to the hand. For example, and this is an example that I researched, is an example of a wild horse, a stallion. Now, my brother was a jockey, and I when he was younger, I remember watching him handle horses. My brother might have been as small as me, but he had very big, strong hands and arms. And I remember how he tamed and how he would exercise the horses and how he would treat the horses. He loved horses. They were his life. His whole life was a horse. And as I grew up with horses, my father used to take us down to the Deegan racetrack, and there's a river there. And when we were little, we used to watch the horses exercise in the water. And I used to watch the handlers with their horses. And I used to watch David as well. A horse is a beautiful animal and a very strong one, and especially a stallion. And throughout history, the horse has proven to be the most useful animal to humanity. But in order for the horse to be useful, it must be broken, tamed, and brought into submission. And when the stallion is broken, he is just as strong as before. His strength is harnessed and comes under control. He is strong but gentle. He is a picture of strength under control. And he had to become submissive to the bridle and bit as well as his master. So they are trained to respond to the master's hand and also voice. And I remember my brother telling me that I have to teach the horse that I am the master, but he said, but sometimes I would speak gently and the horse would respond gently, not like we see in movies. So another example is being used to the hand. As example, God spoke about Israel being rebellious and stiff-necked like an ox, resisting the yoke that has been placed on it, resisting rather than submitting. And another example is the potter and the clay. It's one of my favourite examples. Isaiah 64:18 says, "He is the potter and we are the clay. And the clay is submitted to the hand of the potter." We are clay in God's hand if we surrender. And we come under the Lordship of Christ and we submit our whole life to Him. Only then and there can God mold us and make us into the image of Jesus Christ. We must remember that. Amen. So before we go to table talk, Let me just touch on another thought. Meekness has a reward. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And again, in research, a lot of commentators refer to both Psalm 37 and 61 when we're talking about inheriting the earth. The meek realize they are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8, 16 and 17. Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance." And we know at the end of time his people shall rule and reign with him, right? And we will inherit everything. But the meek also realize there is a blessing now, today, in this life here on earth, and some of us miss it. We miss it. We think, oh yes, it's all going to happen when we're, you know, with Jesus. No, we can have it now. Because 10:29 to 30, Jesus promises those who would submit to him would receive blessing in this life and the age to come. That is, we can have it now. We can live in abundance. Again, as long as we're surrendering all and living it out and walking it through in our relationship with Jesus. And Isaiah 61:7, I love this, it's powerful. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that. And the meek realize with confidence that the whole earth and everything that is in it belongs to God, and therefore, as their heavenly Father, he will provide whatever they need in this life in order to do his will. They know he is always watching and protecting and providing. So, we're going to go to table talk. It's going to be a great table talk. I don't even have to say so for myself. We're going to talk about these three questions. Do you find it hard to submit to God? Who should we submit to? When is it okay not to submit? Very important questions today. Because sometimes we think we've got to submit to every person. Sometimes we've got to, no matter what they do to us, it's okay. No. So let's talk about these questions. Amen? Go for it. I'll be back in a minute. We better get to this last bit. Thanks, James. Where are you? There. Thanks, mate. Awesome. All right. So, in conclusion, I see three ways that meekness is outworked in our life. The meek shall inherit the earth. I see three ways that meekness is outworked in our lives. And submitting to God's will, God's word, and God's people. I mean, maybe you can come up with other things, but these are the three that I actually saw. Matthew Henry said, "The meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to his word and to his hand, who follow his directions and comply with his designs and are gentle toward all men." Now, first one is God's will. You see that Matthew Henry's quote up there. The first one is God's will. In Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." We cannot fathom the importance or comprehend that prayer on that day. Fully comprehend it. We see glimpses and we feel glimpses, but the world is changed by that prayer. The meek person follows the example of Christ and submits themselves to the will of their heavenly Father. I believe this is the hardest thing we'll ever have to do in our life. Submit our will to God. We are so prone to doing things our own way, thinking we know better. And this world that we're living in wants the Christians to live according to the world. And Jesus wants us to live according to His word, His will, so that the world can see that there is a better way to live. The person who is meek before God is willing to submit to God's will and to conform to God's word. Number two, God's word. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." It is called the implanted word. When we read the word, we study the word, it embeds in our spirit. It stays there as long as we are surrendering all and living our life out the way God wants us to live. God wants to plant His eternal word in our hearts and minds because He knows it will save us. But what we do is we say things like this: God's word says that, but I have my own interpretation on it. But God's word says that, but I disagree. That's what God's word says, but it's not what I want right now. And then that is what I want, so it must be what God wants for me. We need to say that. If God's word says that, then that's what God's word says. But we try and put our own definition, our own experiences to it, our own interpretation to it. If we want to see the power, the provision, and the promises of God in our lives, we must submit ourselves to God's word. And I know that's easier said than done. But sometimes we've got to go right back to the basics and start all over again. Number three, God's people. If we feel confident that we are obeying God's will and His word, then this is often where we trip up and we stumble. Charles Spurgeon said in 1873, the greatest preacher at that time, used five words to describe meekness. He said, "To be meek is to be humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and content. Therefore, meekness delivers us from pride, harshness, anger, vengeance, and ambition." His quote. And Ephesians 4:2 says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." We are to help each other become more like Jesus. These table talks, these conversations are doing just that. That we stay in the zone. We stay in love with Jesus. And we're allowing the Word of God to ignite something more powerful in our spirit so we can walk it out into our communities. So how can we honor one another above ourselves? Romans 12:10. Or live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Or submit to one another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5:21, if we do not have meekness. How can we confess our faults to one another if we are not willing to be meek? James 5:16. How can we consider others better than ourselves? Philippians 2:3. Lots of scriptures here. And look out for the interests of one another, Philippians 2:4. And bear with one another, Colossians 3:13, without meekness. We can't. We just want to get up and go. We want to write people off. We want to cancel them out. Cancel culture. Cancel people out because they're not agreeing with us. When Moses was called the most meek man on earth in Numbers 12:3, it was at the same time when Aaron and Miriam rebelled against him and disagreed with his marriage to an Ethiopian woman. Not very nice what just happened in that story. The Lord struck Miriam with leprosy for speaking against Moses. But what did Moses say in response? He was the most meek man on the earth. In Numbers 12:13, Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." He didn't say, "Oh, she deserved that." He prayed for her. And meekness causes us to respond like Jesus. It doesn't harbour hurts or resentments. It does seek revenge or wish the worst. It doesn't. It wishes the best. When Jesus was crucified, he prayed for those who were in the process of executing him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." In Luke 23:34. Wow. Man, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn. So hard. But when we decide, that's when God steps in. All we have to do is decide, "I'm going to forgive that person, Lord." Then God steps in. We cannot live out the Word of God without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that ignites us. He is the one that gets the Word of God inside of us and gives us revelation. It becomes real to us. We start to live out the reality of what the Word of God is meant to do in us and through us. And I'm praying sometimes, I go, "Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to understand the Word of God here. Give me revelation. What are you saying? I'm reading it. Help me." Do we pray like that anymore? I do. Thanks, Jonathan. I do. And I want to stay there. No matter what comes, had some tough times. Wow. Tough times should take us to our knees in prayer. Tough times should say, "God, help me. I surrender, Lord. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to harbor unforgiveness and hatred. Help me, Lord." Tough times want us to do the opposite of meekness. It wants us to strive. It wants us to be frustrated and angry. In the tough times, it should automatically help us to bend our knee before God and say, "Jesus, here I am. Have your way in me." As David said, "Create in me, God, a clean heart." Meekness. I hope today that gives us a little bit more understanding of the word meekness. And when someone says to you that, you know, something gentle about you, there's some, they may not use the word meek, but if they say there's something gentle about you, you say yes. And take it as if it is a good thing to be, because it's powerful. You are restraining yourself from using the power that you really want to use. You are coming under submission, under God's mission. Submission means His mission, under His mission for our lives. Amen? So let's just take this time. There might be some things in your world right now that you are struggling with. There may be some things you need to ask God to forgive you in. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I do know that in this time, in this moment, let the Holy Spirit have His way. Let Him have His way. Let Him reveal to you personally, some of those things that maybe have been buried for a long time inside your spirit. Amen? Awesome. Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks, James.